is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, The Kingdom of God Shall Be Taken From You. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars' message. Up next is Bill and Gloria Gaither with Then I Met the Master, after which we will begin Pastor Mars' sermon.
Like a blind man who walks in the darkness, I had searched for the light. Then I walk no more in the light.
Yeah. Today's program may be the most important message you have ever heard in your life. I beg you to listen to me very closely today. What I am going to tell you is much more valuable than gold, much more valuable than anything that you can attain in this world. I'm going to talk to you today about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Now, I am convinced that the Bible contains both the most chilling, frightening words that are found in the human language, and at the same time, we can also find the most edifying, the most thrilling, the most satisfying words and expression that are found in any language on this planet or in any planet anywhere in any galaxy, for that matter, if there be alien beings somewhere out in the universe. In Matthew 26, Jesus said something so wonderful, it brings tears to my eyes. He said, "Come ye blessed, enter the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Did you know that God has prepared a kingdom for you? And this kingdom he prepared before this world was even framed. God had his kingdom prepared for you. If you are of him, if you are his child, if he is your king, then he has a kingdom prepared for you. And he says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come ye blessed, enter the kingdom." No words could be more thrilling. Can you imagine Jesus holding out his outstretched hand and arm to you and saying, "Come, you who are blessed"? At the same time, we will see a little later on that regrettably, unfortunately, the chilling words are told to some by Jesus, and I quote Jesus, "The kingdom of God is taken from you." The kingdom of God is taken from you and given to another nation which has the fruits thereof. So God has prepared a kingdom for his people. But there are those who will be denied that kingdom. It could have been their birthright. They seem to be destined for glory. But because of something that occurred, something that happened, and their rebelliousness, that it caused them to be denied this kingdom. And they will be thrown into utter darkness forever and ever. Now, these are momentous things that I want to talk to you today. They're much more important than who is going to be president of the United States or whether another war will erupt in the Middle East or the price of oil or of food. These things have great meaning way beyond any measure that we can imagine. Today, I want to talk to you about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I have some startling facts and news for you. That's why you've got to stay tuned today. Now, everybody, it seems, is worried about a kingdom of some kind. And people talk about kingdoms and powers, and people have said that the United States is the only remaining superpower. But we're worried that China, by the year 2016 or 2030 or whatever, could become greater than America as a superpower, could become, in a way, the kingdom on earth. The Jews desire their kingdom, and the Christian evangelicals, so-called, believe it is their mission and their purpose in life to help the Jews achieve the kingdom of the Jews on earth. I was watching a movie just a couple of years ago, I believe it was. I believe the title of the movie was The Kingdom of Heaven. Well, I wanted to know what was the kingdom of heaven. And the movie was a very interesting movie, let's just say, but it was about the Great Crusades. And the Christian Crusaders occupied Jerusalem at the time. And they believed that that was the capital of the kingdom of heaven, was earthly Jerusalem. But Saladin and the Muslims desired to have Jerusalem, and they believed that they would have the kingdom of heaven. And so a great war ensued, in which many thousands were killed, until finally the Christians were expelled from the kingdom of heaven, which was the city, the earthly city of Jerusalem. And as I watched this movie unfold, and it was very historical, quite dramatic, I realized that throughout history, men have killed each other to establish a kingdom. Kingdom builders generally are very bloody, violent men. Now, some have sought to build the kingdom by peace, but even Jesus said during his day, he said that men have sought to build the kingdom or to achieve the kingdom of God by violence. Now, this is an astonishing thing, because I want to tell you something today that will change your life. It will change your life. You see, there is no physical kingdom that you should aspire to. There is none. You can die for vain causes if you wish. You can die for Jerusalem, or for that matter, I suppose, Tokyo or Buenos Aires or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco. But whatever kingdom you achieve here on earth, believe me, dear friends, the day that you die, that kingdom will be of no consequence to you, for you will be judged by a totally different standard. And I don't know whether that kingdom that you are looking for will be the Israeli Knesset, their parliament, or in London, the parliament of the British people, or the Bundestag of the Germans, or the Senate in the House of Representatives of the United States, but by whatever measure of government or leadership, president, prime minister, chancellor, king, they will not exist any longer the minute that you die. For it is appointed for every man once to die. Afterward, the judgment. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus was often asked, in fact, throughout the Gospels you hear conversation and explanations of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And no matter how much Jesus told people about it, they could not understand it. And finally, Jesus said, the reason you cannot understand my words is because you don't belong to the Father. If you belong to the Father in heaven, you'd understand my words. He spoke to him of the kingdom. He said, it's not a matter of what you drink, the material things you have. The kingdom does not come by observation. You can't even see it. Think about that. Pilate said, are you king? He demanded of Jesus. Are you going around telling people? Are you claiming that you're the king? You see, that's why Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Herod was the king. Who is this imposter? Who is this man that claims to be king? Herod was infuriated, obviously, by that. And he was hoping that Pilate would put Jesus away. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He told the governor from Rome, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, Satan confronted Jesus in the wilderness and put Jesus through many tests, one of which he took him to a very high pinnacle, and he displayed to Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, bow and worship me, and all these kingdoms will be yours. But Jesus answered and said, tempt not the Lord thy God. Jesus turned him down. Do not for a moment think that the kingdoms of this world do not belong to Satan. They are his. You would like to see Israel have its kingdom? Then you want to see Satan have a kingdom. You want to see the United States be the kingdom of this earth, the only remaining superpower? Then you will have Satan as the king of this superpower, which is the United States. Do you not understand Satan already has this world and every material thing within it? The Apostle Paul said that Satan is indeed God of this world. Small g, God of this world. But that doesn't defile Jesus. There's none of Satan in Jesus, for Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And he told Satan, you can't tempt me with the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus never denied that they belong to Satan. Why do you think Jesus was tempted by Satan, or at least Satan tried to tempt him? Because they did belong to Satan. They were his, and he will give them to whoever he wants. He will make people presidents, prime ministers. Now, overall, God is watching. No man can rise or fall lest God agree. But I want you to understand something, dear friends. Satan temporarily has been given authority over this planet. Now, Jesus, of course, is a whole different matter. Jesus has a special dominion, a spiritual dominion. And this is where almost every human being misses. They miss things. Now, the kingdom of heaven belongs to God, and Jesus sits on the throne of this kingdom. And who are his citizens but the seed who belong to Jesus? How do you become the seed? The seed is Jesus. The seed is the word of God. And the seed, Jesus said, is planted in the heart of a man. Everyone who is of the kingdom has the seed planted in him. You've heard, no doubt, of the parable of the mustard seed that grows and grows and grows if it's watered properly, if it's fed and nurtured properly, and it become huge. People talk to me all the time about the seed of Abraham. They don't know what they're talking about. They've never read Galatians 3, and if they have, they don't understand it. The seed, Galatians 3:16 says, is Jesus Christ. The seed is whoever belongs to him. The seed is not as of many Jews. Everyone thinks, well, the seed of Abraham are those people who say they're Jews living over in the Middle East. You know nothing of what you speak. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and everyone who has been quickened, that has been made alive by him, is also the seed of Abraham, for we are one with him, as he is one with God, the Father, in heaven. And Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29 says, it doesn't matter at that point if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Because it's not the flesh, it's not your race, it's not your DNA. Forget your DNA, it's going to stay right here, dust to dust. You cannot take your dust remains to heaven. You're not going to live in heaven with a Jew next door, a Gentile, or a German, or a Japanese, or a mixture. There is no flesh that is worthy of entering the kingdom of heaven. You think the Jews will get to heaven, Tex? No, and neither will the Gentiles. It is the spirit that quickeneth, that means makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that, John 6. Think about it again. It's the spirit that makes you alive, that quickeneth you. The flesh profiteth, get this, nothing. People all the time are concerned, I wonder what happened to the Jews. Did they go across here and back in history? Did they belong to Ham or Japheth? And what about the Anglo-American or Anglo, you know, people? Are they the ones that, oh, shut up. You worry about things that are temporal that mean nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Well, don't you think that the white races are better because they are don't? Oh, shut up. And Jesus' very words, he is the word of God. The words that I speak, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. Do you want to live or die? That's the question.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.